Good evening, everyone, and I'm sorry for our tardiness, but welcome to the Trim Radio Network and Money and Change with Stu Scheer. I am Michael Bayhaus, your producer. We have had a fun last 45 minutes. I apologize for that. Anyway, folks, you can come on over to the Trim Radio Network. You can listen in. You can message us right off of the board. And if you want to be a part of our Trim Radio team, all you have to do is let us know. We'll show you how easy it is to do. And we broadcast live all over the world on top of it. Well, the opinions expressed by my host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. Any information shared by us is not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise, and that includes any medical and health professional information as well. Anyway, this song right here, Price Tag, Jesse J., covered under our BMI music license, 6105-1658. And we have a call-in line, 803-866-1667. You call in, give us your opinion, just no cussing, no swearing, and we are good to go. We like to run a good Christian-type-based radio station here. So let's have fun, take all the information with a grain of salt, and do your own research. But hopefully we give you some good information. That's what we like to try to do. And without further ado, here is Stu for the next hour.
Well, actually, 45 minutes. We want to keep on the same track schedule here.
Yeah, take the extra time.
Take the extra time. Okay. Well, hey, gang. Wow. It's been evening here. I'll tell you what. I finished playing a concert this afternoon, and I hurried to get home and get everything set up, and then we had our little problems with dial pad. And we finally got those taken care of, thanks to Michael. And, oh, I'm just waiting with all this information. I mean, you know, we had problems last week, and it was something with my hookup with my camera and microphone, which is built into the camera. It's a brand new 4K camera. It's very high definition. And it's a good setup, but it gets touchy sometimes. Well, anyhow, welcome to Money and Change. And, you know, Michael does his disclaimer. I have to do mine. So the information contained in this presented material is from the posting of news agencies on the internet and are not necessarily the views or opinions of the owners of the program. Nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. You should always do your own research and consult with professionals. We are not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. Well, you know, Trim Radio has some really good shows, and you need to check them out. Just, you know, we do Money and Change in my world, but we also have Fishing in Florida, and we have the Take Point 22 show, and we have Bare Knuckles with Angel Strong. We have the Weekly Music Countdown. We have the Brighter Life show. We have the Spiritual Freedom show, and we have Rascala's Red Pill Reality show. And I keep telling Rascala, hey, you know, I'll take the green pill. I won't take the blue one. I won't take the red one, but I'll take the blue one. He still doesn't get that one. I don't like to take a lot of medication.
There's a green pill? What green pill?
Yeah, the green pill.
I didn't know there was a green pill. There's a green pill?
Yeah, it's holistic.
Oh.
It's natural foods. It's all green.
I got you. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to leave you alone, Stu. I'm going to implore the Lord above to keep an eye on you and have a great show, and we'll catch you in an hour.
And if I see any lightning bolts, you're in trouble.
There could be, but please don't hold it against me.
Okay. Well, hey, guys. Welcome to Money and Change / Financially Prepped. We have a lot of stuff to cover. And we had a lot last week. I just got new information today that has just compounded everything. We have so much stuff to do and talk about, but I still have to talk about some of the shout outs. If I don't do the shout outs, hey, I got a problem with that. Because these guys are my good guys, my good buddies, and they deserve a shout out. Of course, a big shout out to the Trim Radio Network for carrying the program. And Michael and I have worked a lot before, and we always have fun doing the show. And it's just one of those things with communications. Sometimes, oh, the bear gets you, and sometimes you get the bear. And this time we had problems with the bear, and hopefully that's rectified. But we have a lot of good shows on Trim Radio Network, and you need to get in touch with us. Hit the contact switch and get in touch with us so you can do your own show. It's fun and easy to do. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of research to do mine. This is all financial. And that keeps me busy. So I'll tell you what, some people can just get on and talk and talk and talk on a radio show. And holy cow, I mean, I do that on Wednesdays. But on financial, I have to have a lot of information there. But a big shout out to the Trim Radio Network. Also a big shout out to the seniors who have just graduated from the University of Findlay. They had it live on YouTube, and I got to watch part of it. And I saw all the undergrads come through the arches. And then the doctoral students, and they had the big green, blue-green stripes on the side of their gowns. Those are the guys that spent a lot of bucks, spent a lot of time, and they were probably physical therapy and nursing. But anyhow, they graduated. So a big shout out to the University of Findlay, and it's at www.findlay.edu. Findlay, Ohio is in the western part of Ohio, and I'll tell you what, it's a nice town. It's a great college campus, and I'll tell you what, good professors, good facilities. Actually, you know, in the town of Findlay, they have three facilities. They have the equestrian and, I want to call it agriculture, but I'm wrong. It has to do with veterinary science, and that's in one campus. Another campus is the main campus on 1000 North Main Street. I remember that date or address quite well as I went there. But that's the main campus. And then we have the Hazmat campus, and that's out on the eastern side of Findlay. And they teach you how to handle hazardous materials, like what happened up in East Palestine, Ohio, and other places. It's a good school with a lot of very good, meaningful degrees. Check them out, www.findlay.edu. Also, we've got Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. And I don't know, I think Phil over at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens does excellent pens. They're all custom. And if you have a business or a college or a high school or a club and you want to have custom pens made, get a hold of Phil at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. That's RUSTYDUK S custom pens and blanks. And he does a really good job. And both Michael and I both have pens made by Phil at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. He's always busy making the custom stuff. He really is. He sold pens down in Disney World. He's sold things out in Japan, other places. He's busy, but he does excellent work. They're fantastic pens. So, you know, if you need a custom pen made, just let Phil know at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens and Blanks on Facebook. Well, you know, we have Money and Change every Sunday night at 7 o'clock unless we have a dial pad issue. And that's few and far between. Mostly, it's a computer issue, I think, sometimes with some of my setups with this new camera. And then we have My World Life, Laugh, and Whatever. That's every Wednesday at 8 p.m. So Money and Change is at 7 p.m. on Sundays, and My World is Wednesdays at 8 p.m. And we talk a little bit about finance, but not that much. We talk about what's going on in the world and what things I run into. It's kind of crazy. There's always stuff going on. A big shout out to my good buddies at Big Family Homestead. That's Brad and Krista. You have to check them out on YouTube. They're great people. I wouldn't put anybody on my shout outs that were not great people. I'm serious. If I've never talked to them, I've never emailed with them or whatever, I just don't put them on shout outs. Another one is Danny and Wanda King at Deep South Homestead. And boy, they have a problem with seasons. They get a lot of heavy rain and then it dries up and it gets hot or it gets cold. And, you know, they're trying to run a 10-acre farm, and I think they've bought some other land down around Wiggins, Mississippi. It's about 100 miles north of the Gulf of Mexico. And they're good homesteaders. And they're really good people. Danny and Wanda King. Also, Southern Prepper 1 with Dave Kobler. Wow. I listened to him today, and he was talking about some of the stuff that's going on in the financial world. I've known Dave for quite a while, probably 15, 16 years, and he's something else. He's a hard worker. He's got goals set up so that he's ready for any type of financial collapse, and he seems to think that it could be in another month. Who knows? Nobody's saying anything. Then there's Ed Carswell, Prepper Nurse One. He's building his little compound, as we'll call it, down in West Virginia. And it's on the side of a mountain, and it's got great views and everything. But he's trying to build a nice place, and it's just not a house. It's going to be a whole bunch of different buildings there. And so Ed is working on that, and West Virginia is a lot warmer than Northern New York State. And then we have Canadian Prepper, who's Nate. And Nate's always gloom and doom. He's also on Facebook, where the others are YouTubers. Did anybody watch the royal coronation on YouTube or the BBC? I watched a little bit of it, and it's always got this tradition, and the king was crowned, I believe, back in the 500 AD or something like that, and all the big pomp and circumstance, and in the big cathedral in London, and the big crown put on the head, and the family feud was going on. Could you imagine if that was the Beverly Hillbillies? And Jed Clampett was going to be the king. Granny was going to be the queen. Could you imagine that? Well, I guess there was a little feud with Prince William. And he was sitting back in the fourth row instead of being in the front row. And there was a little bit of dissing going on. And the English are very reserved people. But they spent a heck of a lot of money. I mean, you know, we talk about presidential elections and all this kind of stuff. This is just one coronation, putting on the crown and everything. Well, as it is, going back in history, and these are just estimates by Statista, and the cost of a royal coronation for the following UK monarchs, and they're adjusted for inflation, but dig the price. For all this parade stuff and the crowning and all the stuff that goes along with it, it went about 50 to 100 million pounds. And I believe the English pound is something close to a dollar. So could you imagine? That would be just ridiculous. Could you imagine 100 million pounds? Well, Queen Elizabeth II back in 1953 was 20.5 million pounds. George VI back in 1937 was 24.8 million pounds. George V back in 1911 was 17.4 million pounds. Then you go back to Queen Victoria back in 1838, and hers was like 6.2 million dollar pounds. And back in that days, hey, that was a lot of money, a lot of money. Well, hey, 100 million pounds is a lot of money today. Just on all the fancy stuff that has to get done. What would you do with 100 million pounds? I know I would probably invest it as best I could to get through this next financial crisis. And the people over in England are saying that, well, they're starving to death. Well, they're not. They just have monetary problems over there. And the government is probably spending money as stupidly as they are here. But anyhow, that's what's going on. I'm reading through some stuff today, and I'm looking at banks, and I've been doing that for the last couple of weeks. And there's been stuff posted on Zero Hedge and other sources about US bank runs escalate and deposit outflows top $360 billion in the last 3 weeks. Hey, it's posted on Money and Change Slice Financially Prepped on Facebook. It's free to join. Anybody can join us. Just don't start posting because it's information only. We don't have a lot of discussion there. And I did that for a reason because somebody wanted to put advertisements for different things. And I don't need an advertisement for foot powder or whatever. So, but that's on on our Facebook page. And the bank run started out in California with SVB Bank, Silicon Valley Bank, and they got caught short because banks only hold so much money. It's usually, if you had a score of 1 to 10, 1% one part of that, or 10%, is held by the bank, and then they loan out the rest. So 90% of the money that's in the bank gets invested back out, and that generates money flow. Sometimes you have good businesses that don't default, and then you have a bunch. Well, that's what they're running into. A lot of businesses are beginning to default because the economy's not that good. They're laying people off, and it gets scary. So you can check out that article that I posted from Zero Hedge, the US bank run escalates. Check it out. Also, Alaskan prepper, AP, alias Rudy, I'll tell you what, he was in finances with the Army, and I don't know whether he was a paymaster or what he was, financial analyst probably. But he's saying that there will be no soft landing and you will lose it all, and the numbers just don't add up. And I agree with him. And I'm at a point, I don't know where to put money. I don't have a lot, but I don't want to lose it all. And do I put it in the big bank where I'm at, which is not JP Morgan Chase? I'll tell you that now. I never put any money there. It's just my preference. Or farm banks, credit unions, things like that. That's what I look at, diversifying so that you don't have anything more than $250,000 in any account, which I don't, probably never will, unless I hit the lottery. But here, you have to worry about where your money's going to be, because banks right now have a problem. As a matter of fact, let's see if I can dig that out here, because I print off all my articles, because there was a chart, and maybe I showed it last time. There were 70 major bankruptcies in just 4 months this year. Right here you go. That's a Greg Hunter move. Anyhow, and they went through all of them and the different percentages and so forth. I'll tell you what. The 2023 bankruptcy spotlight is what was on this report from Mish Shedlock at Mish Talk. And what they had was Bed Bath & Beyond, David's Bridal, Boxed, Independent Pet Partners, I never heard of those, Tuesday Morning, I've heard of those, Discount Home Goods, Serta Simmons Bedding Company, now Serta was a really good company, Party City, and Forma Brands, that's beauty products. You know, I think I once knew a lady that was so ugly she went to get an estimate when she went to the beauty parlor. Oh, yeah. That's an old joke. Anyhow, it's probably true with some. I know if I went, I'd probably have to sit there for 10 days getting an adjustment. Well, anyhow, we have Bed Bath & Beyond has got problems. And deep discounts and no coupons, according to the report. David's Bridal on CNN, they were talking about that. A lot of malls are closing, and they've been closing over a period of years. And oh, if you hear little tones in the background, I keep getting updates from different sources, so I'll have to check those out after the show. But a lot of different businesses are, they have a hard time with cash flow. For example, tonight, I finished up with the concert and I thought, okay, I've got just a little bit of time. I'm going to go to Dairy Queen. And I thought I'd just get something to eat at Dairy Queen. And I pull into the lot and there was a sign on the door that said, due to shortage of help, the dining room is closed. Okay. So I went down the way and I went to Arby's and I was looking to see if they had a sign. Well, they didn't. So I went in and I ordered some food and I thought, okay, I've got enough time to eat. Well, everything came out. The sandwich wasn't done correctly. It didn't have the cheese on it that I ordered, and just little things happened to start showing up, and they didn't have the staff that they really should have. And there were only about four people in there besides myself, which tells me their service has gone downhill. And maybe it's due to staffing. I don't know, but you experience that in some businesses. And you go to different places, I don't care if it's McDonald's or wherever, they're starting to basically automate. And you go into a kiosk and you hit buttons and you pay there, and then you go to the window and somebody says, okay, here's your food, have a nice day. And then you get your food, and sometimes it's correct, sometimes it's not. And that's why I just don't like going into McDonald's. And then there's Burger King. And a big article came out on Burger King. And I think I'm going to talk about it Wednesday, but I'm also going to discuss it here tonight, because Burger King is to close 400 stores. 400 stores in Reclaim the Flame turnaround strategy. So they're going to get rid of probably 400 unprofitable stores. Now, who in the world would have 400 stores that were in bad shape? They probably had franchisees, and the franchisees weren't doing what they're supposed to do, and the stores were not profitable. So here we have 400 stores that are going to close. Their employees are going to be unemployed, so that adds to more unemployment. What are they going to do with 400 stores? Are they going to sell them off to something else? Or are they just going to let them rot? That can happen. It has happened over the years with a lot of different places. But this article said, during an earnings call earlier this week, the CEO of Restaurant Brands International, and that's the parent company of Burger King, stated that the plans to close between 300 and 400 underperforming stores this year to streamline the fast food brand. And historically, we've closed a couple of hundred units at Burger King U.S., and that was said by Joshua Kobza, K-O-B-Z-A. And he said that in the first quarter earnings call on Tuesday, the expected closures this year appeared to be well above average. If I were running restaurants like that that were underperforming, I would be saying to the managers, let's get it in gear. Let's do something. The economy isn't all that bad because people have to eat. So if the stores are not being run correctly, then that's a training issue with the managers. It's also the training issue from the district down to the managers of the corporation down. Something's wrong there. And so they're going to dump employees. Burger King has shuttered a net total of 124 U.S. locations, and that's a 1.7% reduction, leaving about 7,000 U.S. restaurants at the end of the quarter, and more closures are anticipated in the coming months. And the brand's $400 million Reclaiming the Flame bet to regain market share and wind down underperforming restaurants might be working, as it delivered comparable sales of 8.7% year over year for the quarter. And McDonald's is having higher menu prices. Who can afford a $9 burger? You know, for two people at Arby's was like $25. It used to never be that way. There's something wrong with the economy, and you're going to find out that it's going to cost you more to go to McDonald's. It's going to cost you more to go to Arby's and Wendy's and the rest. Who knows? Maybe White Castle might be a big, what do I want to call it? A classy meal with two sliders, one onion chip, and a drink. If they're still in business by the end of the next 5 years, who knows? Just hypothetical and tongue in cheek. You take a look at the banks, and do you remember people talking about First Republic Bank? And that was out west, and it collapsed. And then JP Morgan Chase had to be kind of coerced into buying it, from what I've heard. Just rumors. Well, they've got a lot of problems with banks. I was listening to a source yesterday, and they were talking about 4,800 small and regional banks are in trouble because they're overly exposed. Is that flashing? When a bank is overexposed, that means they have too many loans out and not enough cash in the background to pay for any runs that happen when you get customers that demand their money. And I imagine if you went to your bank and you had a check for $5,000 and you said, I want to cash it, they would say, well, you'll have to come back tomorrow because we can't cash that check. Wow. I wonder how they're running the bank. But it's that 10% rule where they keep 10% and loan out 90%. And if you have bad loans and they default and you only have maybe out of that 9, you only have, or 90%, and you only have 40%, you've lost more than half of those loans by default, you are in a big mess. And you take a look at what's going on with the banks. And, you know, they borrowed some money years ago at maybe 1 or 2%. And now that loan is basically 4 and 5%. So they're losing money on the loan. You're hearing all different kinds of stuff all over about banks and bank situations and how exposed they are. It's a scary game to play. For example, the other day I went to my favorite ATM and I put my card in and I was going to take out some money. And I hit the button and it wouldn't give out any procedures to go forward. That was it. And I kept pressing and nothing happened. I could get my total in the bank. I could get that result, which I did get. But it wouldn't give out any money. None. And I figured, okay, maybe it just ran out and they haven't stocked it. Well, I know they stock the machine because it's a popular machine, but they stock it at certain times during the week. And I won't tell you those times, but I don't go there on those days. And here I couldn't get any money. They could tell me how much I had in the bank and how much my quick credit was, but I couldn't get any money. Now, is the bank getting to the point where they're in trouble too? And now some other bank has to buy out this regional bank? It's a good sized bank. I don't know. I don't know what the issue is with the bank. I don't know if they have the ability to loan out any money. I don't know if their percentages are going to be high. I know one thing. I had a $17 charge on a Bank of America card that I have. I use it sparingly. I mean, I admit to that. It's just a backup card that I use once in a while. And they said if they didn't get their payment, I was going to get charged 29.5% interest. Well, I paid the card off like I normally do. But I'm not going to pay 29 point whatever percentage interest, 0.7 0.8, 0.9 interest. I'm not going to pay it, which means I'm not going to use that card. And what I'm going to tell them is, guess what? I'm going to cancel the card. And some people say, well, you shouldn't because it's credit. We've lived on credit for a long time, and people have abused credit. And people don't have the money to do things, and so they go ahead and charge things, and they figure they will just go ahead and pay the interest. That's no good. It's absolutely no good. And you've heard me tell the story about I've had friends that I had a college roommate that had 7 credit cards. Each one was maxed out. He's just paying the interest each month. And I told him, you can't do that. You're going to get deeper and deeper and deeper in debt. So you better talk to a financial expert about consolidation loan and paying off your credit cards. Do not use them. Then later on, I found out that his mom gave him an emergency card to use. That made 8 credit cards. That's not right. I can see having 1 or 2, maybe a third, but you always pay them off on time. Totally. And I just got my statement for one of my cards, and I said, hey, I'm going to write a check for the full amount plus what I have purchased within the last couple of weeks past that billing so that everything is paid off in full. So if the banks crash, my check is in paying everything off. I don't owe anybody anything. I don't owe on my house. I don't owe on my car. And the only thing I have to do is just pay a credit card off every time I get the bill. That's the way I like to have it. But people are out there abusing the credit cards. And that reminds me, the government doesn't really have a credit card. They just like to spend our money. And they keep spending and spending and spending. And they say, oh, we're going to raise the debt limit. Okay, who's going to pay it out? Your grandkids and your grandkids' grandkids. They're kicking the can down the road. They've overspent. They don't have the money to back it up. And now we have the BRICS nations. That's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, and a whole bunch of others are going to start joining because they're going to have a different currency. They are going to dethrone the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar at the end of World War II was based on oil. It was the petrodollar. And now they're looking at using another currency to rival against the dollar. And since we don't have a lot of money, what's going to happen is we're going to be in a world of hurt because our inflation is going to go up and up and up. We can't afford to buy things from China or India or other places. The cost is going to be prohibitive because the US dollar, it's almost like going to be worth maybe 2 cents, 3 cents, 5 cents, maybe, in the world of currencies. We call it a dollar here, but it's not worth that. And if you remember back in the 1950s, I think I talked about it on My World. If you had a $100 bill, you could buy 3 carts of groceries back then. Then it shrunk to 2. And now $100 at a grocery store, you're lucky if you get half a cart. That's how much that everything has, the currency's devalued and the inflation has gone up. And it's scary. And you've got banks that are potentially insolvent, according to a Stanford professor. And it's scary. New York Times opinion piece has said, yes, you should be worried about a potential bank crisis, and here's why. And Professor Amit Seru, Seru, wrote, "The fragility and collapse of several high-profile banks are most likely not an isolated phenomenon. A damaging combination of fast-rising interest rates, major changes in work patterns, and potential of recession could prompt a credit crunch not seen since 2008 financial crisis." I saw an ad on Facebook today, which is kind of interesting. This trucking company, I believe, was going to pay over $100,000. I think it was close to maybe $140,000 a year for drivers to drive up in Canada up to Alaska. Can you imagine getting paid that? But they didn't really get into the hazardous pay because you're driving on ice and then frozen lakes that begin to thaw and a whole bunch of things. It's remember the ice road drivers that were on TV, and you got to see Lisa Kelly and some of the other guys, and gals drive their trucks, and you would hear cracking of the ice as the semi trucks drove over them very slowly. And if they broke through the ice, the drivers had to keep the door open so they could jump out very quickly so they didn't drown. That's a scary job. And you take a look at that. And then I'm reading along, and Texas, they had a committee and they're passing a bill to create 100% reserve gold and silver backed transactional currencies. So it looks like Texas is going to have a vault of its own gold and silver. And you'll be able to buy things in gold and silver. It makes sense. Because that's what the BRICS countries are going to do. They're going to go to a gold-backed currency. No more of this, okay, here's a piece of paper and it promises to pay you X amount. And that's what's on a Federal Reserve note. And they're saying, no, this is our money's worth silver and gold. Your money is worth paper. Think about it. We need to get back to a gold standard so that a dollar bill is finally going to be worth a dollar's worth of gold. Right now, gold's over $2,000 an ounce. Can you imagine that? $2,000 an ounce? There are some places where they have little cards and they're broken off into little pieces, little sections. And I don't know if it's 10 sections by 10 sections or 10 by 5 or whatever, but you can break these little pieces off to pay for your debt. Think about it. Texans will be able to do that. They're going to pass a law for that. That's interesting. I wish Ohio would do that because that would make gold and silver legal tender and we wouldn't have to worry about paper bills. We need to get totally away from paper bills and get back on good solid ground. Now, do you know what a specie is? specie? Well, it's defined as a precious metal stamped into coins of uniform shape, size, and design, content, and purity suitable for the customarily used as currency, as a medium of exchange, or as the medium for purchase, sale, storage, transfer, or delivery of precious metals in retail or wholesale transactions. And the government is thinking of going to digital currency. Why? Because they've messed up fiat currency, that's paper currency that we currently use. And they've messed it up so bad, the next thing has got to be digital currency. And from what I've heard, digital currencies are having problems. It's ones and zeros. It's processed on a computer. The government can give and the government can take away. So the government will come in and say, well, for example, the dollar's worth 50 cents, so we're going to take half of your money. But oh, you can use these digital ones and zeros to pay your bills. Of course, if you don't vote the way we want you to vote or do what we tell you to do, the money that you get each month from the government is reduced. It's control. That's what they want to do, is control. And with silver and gold, we control the money because we have our money. As Bix Weir says, pay me my silver now. He's a good source to listen to about the fixing of gold and silver currencies. I hope Texas goes to a gold and silver backed currency. I hope other states do that. I hope Ohio does that, because we don't need the Fed Now coin that's coming out in July. At first, it's going to be probably businesses transferring money back and forth. There's a rumor out there that the government is going to charge a fee for you using Fed Now. Can you imagine that? So let's say every time you buy something using Fed Now, there's a 25 cent fee or a $20 fee for your purchases. The federal government makes money and you lose money. There's a lot of small businesses that they're going out of business because they can't find the help. Insurance cost is really exorbitant. You have to pay for FICA and everything else for the employees. You have a problem there. There are a lot of employment taxes that have to be paid. And I don't know if it was 7.2% that we had to take out for employees. And that's when we figured our profit and loss statement. And we had to do that every week. And we had to subtract out so much for the feds. And then so much for Bureau of Workers' Comp here in Ohio and so forth. We had a specific set of percentages that we had to deduct for all the employees. It was a nightmare and still is. And what's happening now, according to somebody by the name of Escobar, Pepe Escobar at thecradle.com, he said the US dollar is essential to US global power projection. But in 2022, the dollar share of reserve currencies slid 10 times faster than the average in the past 2 decades. It's now estimated that the US dollar status is a as a global reserve currency is eroding. The dollar isn't worth as much. The defining moment, according to Escobar, says the actual trigger leading to the fall of the hegemon was in February 2022, when over $300 billion in Russian foreign reserves were frozen by the collective West, and every other country on the planet began fearing for their own dollar stores abroad. And there was some comic relief in this absurd move. Though the EU, European Union, can't find most of it. That's scary. So no wonder the BRICS are going to do their thing. And it may just work. So are you prepared? Have you prepared for an eventual downfall of the US dollar? You better buy what you can now, because the prices are going to go way up. Inflation is going to hit us like we've never seen. And I've listened to Greg Hunter's show and a lot of others, and especially Cliff High. And you get him on BitChute, BitChute. But he's telling you what the problem is, and we're going to reap a lot of problems from the end of May until September. Everything is going to break loose. And he says, start getting your garden together, because the price of produce is going to go up. Look at it this way. Over in, I believe it is in the Netherlands, or maybe Belgium too, the government wants to close all the farms. Put the farmers out of work. Gee, why? Who produces food? The farmers. You put the farmers out of work. You tell them they can't plant any crops anymore. They're out of work. You can't feed families. You have mass starvations, all because government, in their lack of infinite wisdom, in my humble opinion, are causing problems. Farmers need to farm. Because the average schmo living on your block can't run a garden. And basically what I had last year, some of the seeds that I got from my garden were bad. And I'm using heirloom seeds. I haven't planted anything yet because the weather's been lousy. I have to fortify my soil and begin planting my tomatoes and cucumbers, my cilantro. God, I love cilantro. And radishes and things like that. And on one small planting, I actually did something right to the soil. And 3 years ago, I grew radishes that were 2.5 inches across, and they weren't hot, they were sweet. They were fantastic. And I think they were heirlooms, but I can't remember back that far, because I used different things. This year I'm going to use heirloom seeds. Why heirloom? Because you can take the seeds from the fruit and use it again. And that's the good thing. And I don't know, Michael, if you use heirloom seeds in your garden or not.
No, what I do is my neighbor grows a garden, and then I just pluck her garden and she doesn't know it. It's just another way. No, I'm just kidding. No,
boy, in some states, if you did that, you'd have some little pieces of metal in your behind, because they'd be using birdshot on your fanny.
Yeah, well, she's 85, so, you know, It is what it is.
She can't run that fast,
no,
right?
No, she's actually
really. But her Doberman can.
Yeah, really nice lady. She doesn't like dogs or cats. She like she's a nice lady. She lives right next door. But she offers me stuff all the time. So God bless.
Yeah. Well, hey guys, that's all I've got this week. And sorry about the delay and everything, and then going over. But you know, it's time to prepare and make sure that you're buying canned food, your freeze-dried foods, planting a garden, watching how you spend your money. Be frugal with it. Watch where you invest your money. And hopefully we can come out of this thing okay. So, yeah. Michael, with that, that's all I have this week. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we will. And we'll see you on Wednesday, as a matter of fact. So you're going to be around Wednesday, right?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. All right. Well, we will see you Wednesday. And for the rest of you, I hope you have a wonderful week. Listen, you know, all is not lost. And just keep your faith in Christ God, and things will get better. And that's all we can do, and that's all we can pray for. And got to have hope. Hope brings faith. And then faith, I'll tell you what, that gives you the rest. So anyway, God bless, folks. Take care. Thanks for tuning in with us. And let me see if I can open this up here. And I always like to try something here.
Uh-oh.
We're ready. Take care, folks. God bless. Thank you for tuning in to Trim Radio Network.
See ya.